Okay.
So we're going through now the midterm from this term. So number 10 was, in the HTTP module, create server should be originally assigned as a method of what object? Why? So the HTTP mod create server, so what we're saying is so let's just look at how create server is used in this code. So we're calling create server here. Create server is a property of, who asked the question? Wait, sorry. Okay. Create server is a property of the HTTP object. HTTP gets its meaning from here. HTTP equals require HTTP. So how do we how would we define it so that this require line will produce the right value so that we have HTTP create server? We're not defining create server in this file, we're defining it in the HTTP module. So what did I have to have there? Exports. That's all. Remember, you have to assign functions to the exports in order to do that. So again, looking at the code for here, you will note we have the same thing here, but we also have our own module here. We have require routes. And in this module, routes, you notice we define all these functions. But now, what have I done? I've directly assigned them to exports here. This is a slight change. I did this for two reasons. One is, to make it explicit, the other reason, because it takes up less space. I'm just trying to compress it a little bit, although I'm going a little wild with this. This is going to take up like at least 3 or 4 pages of the final exam. So, but yeah. By the way, when you get the final exam, go ahead and unstaple it in order to access different pages, because you might want to refer to the question and refer to the code or something. Feel free to tear apart the page. It's all good, and you can keep the final exam paper. It's all yours. I don't. So.
Why is it on
the
tool choice?
Huh?
Is it on the tool choice?
You're funny.
You said you can keep the exam paper.
You can. You're going to have exam booklet.
Ah, okay.
Like the midterm. Multiple choice is so nice to grade because you don't have to grade. You just have the scantrons come through and you have the answers. But I don't know how to do multiple choice questions that really address the things I want to ask. I mean, I could kind of, like, how do I do explain the flow control of this program in multiple choice?
It's
just sort of an interesting pedagogical problem. It's like, I care that you understand how this program operates. I mean, I could potentially do these little point-wise questions, but I guess I could give, okay, here are 4 descriptions of how this program runs. Choose which one's correct. That doesn't seem right either, because I want you to be able to generate the explanation, not recognize it. So, some people argue that you can test almost anything in multiple choice. I don't agree with that. Maybe some classes do, but I don't know how to really teach programming and have it all be multiple choice. Maybe some, but not all. Questions? So, yes?
So the code on the final is going to be assignment for solutions.
Assignment for solutions are, so I'll show you the assignment for solutions. If you look at app.js, it's this.
Okay.
You know, well, actually, more importantly, if you look at that code's almost identical. If you look at this code, there's a lot more here. Like, in particular, if you look at my override DB function, it's a little nuts. I've got all this stuff for checking whether, because the thing that was painful, actually, with this is you have to do some checking of the syntax of the imports. And so I've got all this checking here and seeing, is there strings? Does it have a start room and things? And I wouldn't call this the best structured code, but it's okay. Hopefully it's clear, but that's not on the final. So it's derived from that. The code that's going to be on the final is this code. So
That's going to be like the same format as the midterm, like, if you're commenting on this line, what does it do?
Yeah. I may not have quite so many of those.
I cut down this. You know, for the midterm, you're really picky, like, you're complaining that a lot of people got the flow a bit wrong.
Yep.
Can we go over that?
Yes. I'd be happy to. So, but let me first actually go to the solutions I had last time so you all can see what I was, the sort of thing I was looking for. So, with the old application, flow of control was actually a little bit, the flow of control of this one's a little bit trickier because remember it's going to be Ajaxed, so we'll go through that. But what I was looking for on the midterm was, you know, was something like this, because I was looking for, okay, there's a GET request, I want to know what functions were called. And then I want to see, you know, where are all the gets and post? Okay. You know, when you get HTML rendered from, you know, JTE template. One thing that really bugged me is people said the JTE code was, like, sent back. And it's like, no, the JTE code is not sent back. It's a template. It's generated with what arguments or something. I mean, just saying something that, you know, this is used to generate the HTML or something was fine. But people saying that this file was returned, I tried to be generous, but that really bugged me. But you notice that, I mean, a lot of you got kind of this, but what functions are being called? What is responsible for each of these things? When I say there's a GET request, what function handles it? Like, in particular, this really caused you all problems. Now, you all should be happy that this does not have the whole make room handler handler business. A lot of you really choked on that. But instead, you have Ajax fun, which is its own, you know, variety of confusing. So, but that was the fact that people were saying make room handler was called. So just to refresh your memory. This was, so there was this whole thing of saying, here's a loop, go through all the rooms in the, it was an array of rooms, go through all of them, add them, and call make room handler for each of them with this. So make room handler, this loop was executed when the web server was started. And then it never runs again. And make room handler is executed when the web server starts and never runs again. But what's left behind is these handlers. Different instances of this handler function is returned, and that is set as, that is given as an argument to apt-get. So that is registered as the callback for these different routes. So the only thing that's getting called later is the handler function, not make room handler. Make room handler was only called, it was called once for each room, but it was called when it was set up. Handler could be called, you know, indeterminate number of times. Depends on how many times the user clicks. So that's the sort of distinction that I'm really looking at you being able to get from the code, is saying, okay, when is this code running? You know, is this code running when the web server starts up? Is this code registered as a callback to handle a route so it will be called? Any function that runs at startup, when I talk about trace the control flow, you shouldn't mention it. Except it's saying this maybe set it up for it and it ran previously. I was saying, you know, when the request comes in, I'm talking about after the web server is initialized, how is it going to execute things? So that's really the key distinction that I was looking for, was you understanding the difference between code that's executed when the web server starts up and code that's executed as it runs. So do you want me to talk about that in the other code? So let's start with the client-side code. When is this code run? So, you know one place it's run, which is on window load, get room is called.
So when I say this code is run, what am I talking about? You have to really go through and think of what's each function doing. So what functions do we have?
We have this get room function, and we have this anonymous function here, and then we have this anonymous function here. Wait, there, wait, so there's one, well, there's this function, this function, this function, this function, and this function. Five functions. So you should know exactly when each of them is run. So let's start outer in. When is this function executed? How many times? It's executed once. It's executed once, and it's executed by this call right there. That open paren, close paren is what runs it, and thus it is run when this bit of JavaScript is loaded. When that file is loaded, this code is run. Because it defines a whole function and then calls it immediately. Then we go to line two, we have another function. When is this function called? So this is get room. When is this function called? When is it first called? It's first called when the window's loaded. On window load. So we, you know, this is Ajax. When it's fully loaded, this code will be run. Is there any other, can you see any other calls to get room in this code? Yes? On line 17. Right? On line 17 here, there's another call. This call happens in response to, so let's work this back. So we've got this get room call. This is happening in this function. This function here is defined as the handler for a onClick event. This onClick event happens, you know, this onClick event is registered for each exit. And so we're in this for each loop. It's, you know, it's a, so for each, so e, this function, this body is called for each room, you know, for each exit. And so we go, you know, so each, in each exit we take, okay, here's this exit list attribute. So we're appending this thing. So we got this one button here. Initially there's no buttons, and we keep appending them on. These are the exits, and we give a handler for it to call this. I would argue this is this code right here is probably the most confusing code in the whole application. But it's just but you notice it's just using all the techniques we've been talking about. Like you have to walk the scope, you have to see exactly what it is, and you've got these event handlers. But really the event handler shouldn't look really weird to you. They're just another asynchronous thing. You've just got a condition and a function that's called when that condition is met. It's really no different from the routes on the server side. Mm-hmm.
Could you maybe explain one more time when that second function is called? Like, is that when each root is rendered, or is that
function on which line?
Line two.
Line two. Okay, so function on line two.
So it's assigned there. So where it's called is wherever there's a call for it. So where are the calls for it? I'll tell you, there's no other calls than, now, first off, you can ask, can there be any calls to this function in other files? No. We know that any references to get room have to be here. They cannot be elsewhere. Why do I know that? Exactly. I have a private scope here because of the enclosing function defined on line one. Because that is there, get room only exists in here. So any reference to it are here. So I know exactly when it's going to be called. It's here. There's no other, you know, parts of the code there. So this is a way of, you know, controlling code complexity. But So we have it defined here. There are two calls to it, line 17 and line 22. That's it. So what is line 22? When is it called? Exactly. When the stuff for the win is fully loaded, that's, you look up in jQuery, it's an event. And the event is when the page is loaded. That function will be called. So it'll be called pretty early. Why don't we want to call it immediately? It's because, it might be dependent upon other stuff in the page that isn't there yet, so better wait for everything to be loaded. Yes? Uh-huh.
So that's the first time that's called.
That's the first time that getRoom is called, yes. Because what happens if that is not called? You have no room contents. You have the original placeholder things. So what room is a player in? You don't know. Yes?
Hey, with the login page, does that still get called when it loads that window? Window that doesn't have anything to do with rooms?
So when is this code included?
Oh, okay.
Right? This is adventure.js. Adventure.js, if you look at the templates, so this I tweaked a little bit. I might have to fix this. I don't know if I did this actually in the solutions, but I added the whole block header and block contents. So you notice the layout, we have a header and we have a body. So block header, and so in block header here, we load JavaScript adventure.js and rooms, and index, we do not. So. But so this gets called when the window is loaded, and then every time the user presses on, does an onClick, it calls this function that does two things. One is it posts a do action to the server, which tells it, okay, now go and change my current room state, move me. And then it updates the contents of the room. Because this first line just changes the server state. It doesn't change what description's present. So we call it again. Because remember, we have to execute this every time the player changes a room. We have to re-execute this because we have to regenerate, all the exit buttons and put the descriptions in and stuff. Yes? Okay, a little better. Line 13. Wait, what sort of ending brackets here? The closed parentheses and semicolon?
How does the function for view apply to the buttons as well as the okay.
Wait, the move here? You're talking about line 15.
The function for move on line 14, how does that apply to the exit list on line 10?
Ah! So what is line 10 doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's making buttons. Line 10 makes the buttons. If you were to get rid of lines, so this is a good question. If you get rid of lines, let's get rid of lines 14 through, get rid of this because this is the whole handler. What happens if you get rid of this? You'll have a bunch of buttons that don't do anything. Buttons with no event handlers. Click, click, click. But you'll still see the buttons. Does that make sense? Yes? Well, you're going to do it once. This function will get called once. So this you'll get the initial room. And you'll never be able to move from it. So, be stuck on the bridge. Well, actually, you'll be stuck at the start screen because in this code, so one question is, which room do you start in? Start. That's the first room. Now, you'll notice that there is no definition of any rooms in here. There's no descriptions, no names, no nothing. Where is that? Not a trick question. Yes? It's in the database. So some of you, a lot of you had some really awkward things of trying to implement your stuff with database back, like you wanted to initialize the database if there was nothing there as part of the normal running of your program. And it was just like, no, don't do that. If your data, that's why you have the import and export function. If it turns out there are no rooms initially in the database, you populate the database by hand creating a JavaScript, a JSON file, and using import. And then you populate the database. I don't have the import functionality in here. Not in this example, but it's in the solutions. So you first make the import, and after you have the import, then you have it all in the database, and then you can make the game use it. I didn't specify do it in quite that order, but I was expecting you to look at the whole problem and figure out what is the right order thing. That's something very important in deciding to do any sort of programming problem, is to order it in a way that makes your life easier.
Every time, like a clean start, and then they can export it, and then the server will refresh, load in groups.js, and they can import where they last left off.
So think about that. That means that when your server starts up, if someone had previously done an import, every time your web server start up on every reboot or whatever of your system, it wipes out your database. Yeah. I mean, if the user imported anything,
they just keep uploading their save file.
Yeah, imagine more than one person playing. You know, this is a game world. I mean, it's just, yeah. You don't want to do that. Basic rule of databases is you don't blow away things in them unless you have good reason to. A user saying, import the database, you know, import this thing and overwrite what's there, fine. You can give them a nice warning dialog box. You're blowing away everything. But a normal operation, you assume the database has what you need. That's what it's there for. And if it doesn't have the right thing, you generate an error and say the database is uninitialized. You'll notice this code does have that capability. Where is it? Where would you want it? You'd want it in get contents. And sure enough, in get contents, what I have is, you know, error the room. If there's no error, and we have a room, we actually found the room, then we go ahead and send this. We're assuming that the room is in a canonical state, because we're assuming that whoever imported into the database didn't mess up. It has all the right features. But here, if it doesn't, then we just make up one and we send it back. Here's your room. I don't have one, but there you go. So this is my weird error message. You request a room, you always get a room. Just sometimes a room will tell you it's not really a room. Yes?
So room.findOne is the code that grabs the room from the database?
Exactly. Yeah. And notice the query is, you know, we just give a very simple query. It's just an object with one property, with name is rec session current room. Rec session current room is the room they're in. It's a string. So we're looking for a document that has the name of that. And it finds the first one in our document collection that has that name equal to that property, and that's the one we get. If there are duplicates, I just get the first one. I'm so assuming that you structure your database so it doesn't have duplicates. But yes?
Things into the database.
how do you put them in?
Where would we put that function?
Rooms.js is the way I would do it is you put that content into a separate file that actually is your sample. And in fact, actually, I did that with the solutions. If you look here in the solutions, I have a sample rooms.json, which is basically the same as before, except I added a closet. I also added the player thing so that you can see that that code works. But this file, if you do import, so the import function on in the game, it will create those rooms. So if you do that in a clean system, there'll be no game. You just import it, and then now you can play the game. And if you try playing otherwise, you just get the error unknown room. With no exit.
Can you show that import function?
Yeah. So this is in routes. So this is not, I can bring this up otherwise, I wasn't. So this again was just based on the old code here, which was just get db to import. So you've got a file, you notice here this fs read file, the reason I do that is because when it's parsed, when the form data gets created, it automatically creates this. This you saw already, and this was all the DB demo code. Right, so you get this file, you get it, and you send, and then it does this. So what? Then I do this try catch thing. The reason I do that is because otherwise I can just do JSON parse. But if it's invalid JSON, this will kill your application. So I put it inside of a try and catch, because if this bombs out, I'll just send invalid JSON. Otherwise, I've got the parsed data, and I call overwrite DB with the parsed data and the response. So now here's my overwrite DB function. Again, remember overwrite DB was in the DB demo. I've expanded it here. Before I just had an array, is it an array? And then I've got all this code here, which goes through the entire room array, the new DB array, and I check through the title a string, is the name a string, is the description a string? If any of those is true, then say it's bad rooms. You've got some bad rooms. If you've found the start, then okay, you found the start. If it's not an array, then you have bad rooms. You go, don't iterate through the array unless it is an array. You iterate through array, make sure they're all strings. Okay. After this, I've kind of made a basic check of the structure. That I'm not checking whether you have duplicate rooms or other. I mean, there's a lot more checking you can do, but this is pretty bare minimum. So now I go, if I set the bad room flag, I abort the import. If I didn't find the start room, there's no start room, so I abort the input. I created an import page status. So that's there. And then I delete all the rooms. Notice I don't delete all the rooms until I actually check the syntax of them. Check, then import. Don't blow away your database unless you actually know that you have good data to import. So that's all. Now we blow it away. After it's blown away, now we go through and if we couldn't blow it away, then we couldn't erase the old documents. And we remove them in, and then we go through and import them. We just do a for each. And then we send the result, import in progress. Yes?
That renders the page before. We don't know that the records have actually been saved in the database. Right,
which is why the result says import in progress. It's possible that not everything's committed. Although the first thing we did was, so there's a specific order of operations should be preserved. So, and in particular, we don't start doing this until the documents have all been erased. So it's so what the state you could have is all the rooms are. If you wanted to check this, which you could do something like set a counter for how many rooms are supposed to be imported. And then you import it, and then you basically could have a little, you could do a little Ajax-y progress bar and wait till the number gets there, and then you say, oh, it's all done, and then you move to the game. And you then have a flag of saying databases not is inconsistent, and say, don't ever return a room until if the database is inconsistent. Yeah. There's a lot more error checking you'd want to do in a real web application. This is very minimal, but this was more just to give you a flavor of the kind of paranoia that you have to do. I mean, in a real application, most of your code is error checking code. Basic logic's pretty simple. Yes? We can, I'll go through parts of it. Let's see. The flow of control of this in some ways is actually very, it's simpler, right? So what's the first page you're going to load? You know, you're going to go to slash, right? The browser's going to initiate that. That's where everything starts. So you do a get for slash. What's the first function that's going to get called? What function? Yeah, it's going, well, so we go to our routes file. And index. So this function is going to get called, and you know, so exports.index and routes.js, and then it's going to call resRender, and resRender is going to take the index template file, generate an HTML file given these arguments, and then send the HTML file back, and the browser will render it. So now we have a page here. We have the initial index page, which asks for the player's name. The player types in their name, hits submit. That generates what? A post, right? We have a form, we're submitting it. That post gets processed by start, right? Now, just side note, what's this sanitize for? What's this line? Right, because remember what's happening with the player name now? It's something, if you're playing with this code at home, you should try doing. See what it does is start putting funny characters into the player name. Because remember that player name gets inserted into the descriptions. So when they get inserted into the descriptions, you can't run this code. This code won't do that much until you import the rooms. But just use assignment 4, use the sample rooms there, import them. Or if your database may have a similar structure, it should probably depending on how you did things. But if you start doing that, you start playing it, and you start looking at the player name, you could actually put JavaScript. If you didn't have a line like this, you could put JavaScript into the player name. You could put a little script tag and put arbitrary JavaScript, and that would be run in the page when it's loaded. This, make sure you can't do that. And then, you know, we set the current room to the, you know, set the current room to this. We set this variable, and then we redirect. Now, remember, we're doing this as part of the session because multiple people could be playing the game, right, concurrently. And then we go redirect to game. So what happens when we do a redirect? These people in the midterm did not get this. When I say redirect, what does that do? Does that call a function directly in my server? No. Redirect sends a response back to the browser that says switch URLs. Redirect to a different URL. So it's redirecting to slash game. So this is going to send a response back saying redirect to slash game. And then what's the browser going to do? It's going to do a get for slash game.
I have a really long question.
Yes?
It
should have a semicolon, but see, so JavaScript's a little flexible in the semicolon thing. I don't think I should just use strict so it enforces that, so to make sure we get things. But I haven't really talked about that.
I don't know.
In class
you never know JavaScript means sometimes you can't use it.
You should have a semicolon there. I should correct that. But yeah, but so the, but the redirect in particular, it's not, notice it's in terms of a URL. It's not referring to a function. If we were calling a function in the code, we would call that function. We're instead doing a redirect, so it means this gets returned to the browser, and the browser then does a get for slash game. And the in the URL bar, it will change to say slash game. And that's, in fact, why you want to go back to the browser, because you want the URL to be different in the browser. So now the browser will do a get for slash game, and then it will then that will cause this to be called. It's very important to understand what redirects means, because otherwise you're missing out on a whole class of gets. So now we've got X, so you got the game function. We're going to call this, and all it's going to do is check to see if there's a, if the user's logged in. If they haven't, if they don't have a player name, well, they haven't, then let's go back to slash let them enter player name. And again, this redirect would cause cause the browser to issue another GET request, because we sent a response saying, here's a redirect. This now, this render, is going to then render the room.j template, the title adventure demo, and send that HTML back. Now that code. Now let's actually we get something a little interesting, because the room.jade code. This is what's going to be sent back as HTML, and now this has code, because now on the client side this is going to be loaded, and in particular this JavaScript is going to be loaded. The adventure. So we go now to adventure. This code is now executed. And what does it do is on when the page finishes loading, it does a get for get contents for the current room. So now we have a get that's going back to the server. That get is going to call exports get contents. It will then go through and go from the database, grab the room, and send the response back as a JSON object. Before doing that, of course, it replace the player name. You don't, if you're talking the full flow control, it does that, but otherwise it returns a room that's unknown if it couldn't get it from the database. And this and then once it has the room, this code then renders it. Displays it, and then has now all the exit buttons. And the exit buttons basically cause it to do the same thing, but for whatever the exits are. Yes?
When doing flow control, do you want us to specify all the different routes that it could take?
Yeah. Well, no. When I say flow control, I'm really more interested in the functions that are being called. So, and I'm really interested in your functions. And just tell me what it basically does. Like, I don't need you to say it calls a res render, it calls this like that. Just tell me what it, what the function does. Like, you're explaining to me, you know, if you look at the solutions, this is kind of what I was saying. If it calls exports get contents, say no. So this, you know, the code adventure.js gets called, the get room code gets called on room on, once the page finishes loading, and then it calls, it does a get for get contents, and get contents calls the get contents, exports.get contents, and the routes index.js file, and that one tries to grab, you know, grabs at the database, and if it, you know, succeeds, it sends that back, otherwise it sends the, actually, but honestly, for the purposes of the test, you probably just say, it calls get contents in order to get the contents in the room. Because this is all calling code that, you know, other functions that you didn't define. I'm more interested in the flow of control between the functions that you did define. Well, you should say it calls get contents, but notice there's no res render here. It's only res send. Because it's not using a J template, it's just sending a JSON object back. What is this? Get JSON, and this is AJAX. Those two calls. They are asynchronous. They have in the background from the client to do things that are inserted into the page so that the page is not reloaded. This is the key reason to use jQuery. for doing this sort of thing, because these calls are a heck of a lot easier than using XML HTTP request. XML HTTP request is not that bad. It's just, this is clean. Yes? Rooms.jade, yes. Room.jade, yep. No. But so you notice I have this block header.
Yes, that's exactly what I have.
What did you have in your layout? Did you change layout?
I didn't.
That's why.
Explain what you mean.
So what does that mean? In Jade template language, it means you have initial layout. This defines the look of the page. And this is a template for the look of the page, but it defines two places for things to be filled in, the block header and the block content, which means you can stick a block of stuff in there. So when you say extends a template, when you say extends layout, it means use this, and I'm going to tell you what fits in the blocks.
They correspond to the lines.
So in other words, when I say extends layout, it says you start with this, and then I say block content is this, it means insert this stuff in for block content here. And so if you want to insert stuff at another place, you have to stick another block line in there. So in the I said block header. Now, if block header is not defined, it'll just be empty. So you don't have to specify a block. So you can have a whole bunch of blocks that you define later. Here, I just added a new block header because I wanted something to put in the header. Now, I didn't really need it to do that, but I'm just kind of being a little pedantic here. The old one, it worked fine when you had it in the body. But you see, this is a templating language. The whole idea is you specify patterns, and then you fill in the patterns. So this is the basic pattern of the page, and the pattern is that every page is it's a doc type, it's HTML, it's got a head and it's got a body, and there's stuff you want to put in the header and stuff you want to put in the body. And that's what we instantiate. These extends. Does that make sense? So you can't just stick in new blocks here unless you have blocks here. That's what the extends is. It's simple. When you see it that way, right? I was thinking that you would kind of have to learn a little more about Jade because you now have coded hopefully multiple pages in Jade in order to finish your assignment. But anyway, here it is. Yes?
So is header and content not keywords? They're just things that you can find. You can put block tomato and then put it in the second place and it will be in the header.
Yep. Block tomato, sure. And the only reason why it makes sense to do the head and body is so head and body are special keywords because those refer to HTML tags, the head and the body tag. Not so much keywords, just that's the tag.
And like, let's say, for the mention you asked, like, what happens if this line wasn't there? What type of like ants are you looking for? If it's going to generate error, are you looking for what type of error it's going to generate or just say error?
If you look at the solutions, these are the sort of answers I'm looking for. High level. So, the initial page / won't have a title shown in the title bar. The renders looks the same otherwise.
You want to see exactly what happens.
Yeah. Number 7 says no templates will be able to be found for Jade, so the first render call /, most likely, will generate some sort of error.
Okay, some sort of error. That's what I mean. You have reference errors.
Yeah.
That's not that specific. That's okay. You can let those void once in a while.
I'm not really concerned with you understanding the exact workings of the error reporter in Node. I want you to understand what works and what doesn't and why, and how you broke the code. Because the idea is, if you understand how the code breaks with each of these changes, it means you understand what the line does. If you don't know why it breaks, why'd you put that line there? Because the thing I really don't like you all doing is saying, here's a bunch of code. It's like, why is it there? I don't know. It's because I saw it in the example, so I put it here. It's like, I'm sorry, if you're programming, you should be able to understand the role of every line. Now, when you get to large enough programs, you will not be able to understand every line. But you should know you don't understand them, and you should know what it takes to understand them later. And saying, okay, this line is potentially doing something, okay, I have to figure out how this works. At programs of the scale here, you should have some idea of what everything works. Now, have we talked about exactly how, say, res render works? No. We can actually go down and get the JavaScript implementation of res render. It's there, it's all there for you to see in the Node source, which actually is loaded every time you run it, and you can see exactly what res render does. That's a black box for the purposes of this class. So you can't ever understand everything. But you should know what its role is. I'm not going to reduce the weight of the midterm for everyone automatically. What I do is I have, so the basic way I do grading at the end is I take the standard, the promised grading scheme, and I create alternative grading schemes. And then I give you the highest grade of whichever grading scheme you do best in. So one of the grading schemes will be where the midterm is dropped and the final exam takes up the values of the midterm. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. But again, if doing that were to hurt your grade, I won't use that. It's the beauty of spreadsheets. You can have these things called conditionals in them. And they can look it up and they can say, oh, this is higher, I'll give you that value. Max. I don't give the min grade normally. No, I give the max. Because what I'm looking for is, have you demonstrated competence? If you can do well in the final, it means you understood what happened in this course, and that's fine. Yes?
Sorry, this is a question, but for the question you had, how would you get this application to run? Would you just write down the campaign installed in the node app.js?
Yeah. I don't think I actually asked that in the midterm, did I? Yeah, it says, you should know that. One thing you should also know is in the code here I listed, although if you look at the zip file, it does include it, is I do not have a package.json file. While you don't necessarily have to be able to generate a package.json file by hand, I should be able to say, what packages would you need to install? Would you want Node to install in order for this code to work? How would you answer that question? You go through the code and see what are the requires lines that refer to things not there. So you need to have Express. You need to have HTTP. And you need to have Validator. And you need to have Mongoose. Now, actually, HTTP you don't have to have because HTTP is actually built in. But if you said that, that would be okay. The way you could do this manually, just say npm install Express. NPM install, I think it's npm install express, validator, mongoose. When you say npm install, package.json just tells npm what packages you depend on. So you should be able to understand that sort of thing. They say, what packages would you expect package.json for this application to include? Come on, other people, come on. Hey, come on. No one else has questions? We can just answer a question.
Okay.
Come on. I see this entire area. Well, like, one or two.
Yeah.
Come on, I don't want to favor just this section. Does everything seem clear? You feel like you get this code? I'm thinking that if you really understood assignment four and you really implemented it, this shouldn't be hard, because in order to make that work, you had to do things just like everyone in the code in order to make your editor. That's my theory. But
okay. In terms of layout of the final exam.
It looks like the midterm.
It looks like the midterm.
And I believe in recycling.
Yeah.
Yes. If there's going to be true and false, it will be identical or very similar to what you see. Now, the only thing is, I will warn you about all of my questions, is that while I believe in recycling, it's not necessarily pure reuse.
It's like 50%.
What I'm saying is that,
yeah,
I'm saying is if a question sounds like a question you have answered before, it may be the same question. It may not be. It may be very close. Or it may have a completely different answer. So what I'm saying is don't pattern match. Study the midterm, make sure you understand it, but when you get to the final, do not pattern match and say, oh, I read half the question, that's this, boom, put the answer down. Read the whole question. Read the whole thing. Reading comprehension matters. It really does. For example, let's just go through this. So we've got this. For example, what if I said, what HTTP command is normally used to change, in order to report value, to report user input? Get. No. Post. See, but if you just sort of read the question, what HTTP command is normally used to, and you say, I know the answer, get.
Just don't change the last word. It's not the last word. That would be a lot harder.
Don't change the last word, but change the critical word.
Yeah, exactly.
Something last word, because I would read up until before the last
read
word.
The whole question. Read the whole question. It is important. For example, what if I change write access to object properties or resolvers? What if I change this to read access? Read access to object properties are resolved by looking at the object's properties and then by looking at the chain of objects pointed to by the objects on the prototype chain. If I change it to read access, the answer to this question is true. Do you have a question about that question?
I don't understand that question.
Why didn't you ask about the question before? But so anyone want to explain that question? What is that true false question talking about? The question is just explaining how prototypes work. This is how the object. When you say something inherits or has that, something has a prototype of something else in JavaScript, this is what's happening. All objects are in JavaScript are these associative arrays. And the only thing that makes them object-like is what do you do when a property is not defined for an object? And it's saying, well, look at the prototypes. That's what it's saying. And you walk the prototype chain. That's what that question is saying. Now, write access is not determined because then, think about it, it's a chain. If you have to write to it, where do you stop? So you either would write at the bottom or the top. And if you're at the top, you're writing to the global object. So you write at the bottom. When you write to a property in an object, it always writes to that object. When you read a property from an object, the read value can come from that object or from any of its prototypes.
That's what that question is saying. And if you parse through it, it should say, right, you know, this is a true statement. Read access to object properties are resolved by looking at the object's properties and then by looking at the chain of objects pointed to by the objects on the prototype chain. Does it now parse better? Okay.
So, could you maybe reword that question to where the right axis would be true? You know what I mean? So, say, right access to object properties are resolved by something, and then have it be true.
Well, what, rewrite it for me.
I'm trying to wrap my head around how this works, to be honest.
Yes? Exactly. You say right access to object properties is resolved by looking at the looking at the object properties. Yeah. You know, well, I mean, looking well, by looking at the object properties and changing the value for the property or something. You know, not looking is really by setting the value of that property in the object.
And not by looking at the chain of properties.
Yeah, it's why just delete the rest.
Oh.
It gets a lot shorter because there's nothing but prototypes involved in writing to an object.
What is the difference between write access and read access?
Just accessing the property. What does access mean?
Again.
Yeah.
What is write access? The access.
Color equals red.
Yeah.
Like car dot color equals red.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's writing.
And reading means
what is car dot color?
Yeah, but how does that translate into like the actual program? Like visualize that?
It's just an object property.
So
it literally is saying car.color equals red. You're reading the property, equals red. You're writing to car the property color and setting it to red.
Okay, and if you want to
if I want to read it, I say I just access car.color. What's the value of car.color?
Okay.
Is it red? And we're more to the point. Let's say I have Porsche.color. Is Porsche.color, is it red? Well, if I've set the color for Porsche, or if it doesn't, then if it inherits from car, if car is in the prototype, then I go up to car and I say, does it have a color property? Yes or no? Let's see what color it is.
That's the read one, right?
Yep. Yes?
Can we finish the control flow?
Basically, the only thing I didn't talk about was what happens for the different exits. In the quit. There's a quit button, I think. But each room handles just like the first room. The only thing different is when you exit, you do the do action, which goes to the server and then does a post. But then right after you do the do action, then you do a get contents, which is just like what you already said what you do with get contents. Okay. Yep.
You push a title and
you're saying routes.index here? Yeah. Or are you saying the function exports it? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or you render the title and error to J. I'm wondering what
does this line do?
I'm wondering when do we have errors for J? Because other than this index, I don't see what other.
Well, let's look at the template. Does it reference error? Nope. Just did. No error. I mean, there's nothing that we don't have. You can specify other properties to a J template, and it's just going to ignore them if you don't use them. You just define variables in a scope, and it's just going to ignore them. Now, the reason why before what there was is there was a couple of lines here that would put, if there was an error, it would add in a div and, color it nicely that there was an error. So this error, rec query error, like the rec query error, you could give it an error. Like, this originally came from the session code. That's why it had the error. So that error has never been used in the adventure game. Now, I could take this out, but I kind of like having it here. Yes, actually, to mess with you. And this is also part of your job as a programmer in reading code, is you have to be able to say, that does nothing. That is useless code. That is a variable that is there for I don't know, and we can just take it out and it won't make a difference.
So that's a plus one for Stephanie, right?
Well, maybe. But you see what I mean? It's like you should know, like, there will be lines that do nothing. There will be changes that do nothing. And you should know why that is. You say, oh, you defined a variable here and you never used it. I could say, well, I'll try to make this program perfect and take out any sort of thing, but that's what you find in real code. You should be able to say, it's not going to do anything. Anyone, let's see, anyone else? Yes. Yes.
Back at the midterm, there was the apply question for this. Let's mm-hmm. apply empty object and new. What's the fourth one?
Oh, okay. Right. So apply specifies what object, it's all for the value of this. In the method invocation pattern, it's the object for which it's a method. That's what this is. In the constructor, it's an empty object. Right. So if you do new, you get an empty object. This, if you're doing the apply, it gets to be the whatever thing you specify as part of the apply. That's part of the things you specify what this is going to be. And the fourth one is just normal function invocation pattern. And what is this? It's a global. In other words, it's a stupid one.
You tell us, is there anything we should know?
I could sit here and I could talk for, I have 23 lectures with 80 minutes each. How long would it take me to do that straight right now? Okay. Again, I spent. No, it doesn't include an editor. But you don't need an editor. And if you want me, you should know how you create the editor. I'm going to. If other people, actually, I said earlier, if any of you want to email me and say I may use your editor and put it up, I will put it online for other people to look at. But at this point, there is. If I put it up, it's going to be more code for you to look at, and it's not going to help you because it's just more complexity. I don't necessarily want you studying that, but I can show you some examples. And some people, frankly, have done a better job than I would have done with it, so much prettier. I've seen some of your code. It's nice. So if any of you like it, tell me, and I'll put it up for other people to see. If you, none of you say it, that's fine. Okay. What are you referring to? What line? Line 4. Line 4 and line 8? Line 8 is completely different. Line 8 is that's a DOM attribute. That's where the exits are put in. So if you look at the, in particular, if you look at here, we have where do we have exits?
Default.exit.
Sorry, what?
Default.exit.
Wait, which line?
11.
Yes, there we go. Yeah, so here's exits. That's what's referred to. Yeah, I knew I used exits. How to use that. But But that variable, I don't think that's actually used, is it? Nope, I don't think that's used. That's what this is. I mean, really, understand this code. Answer questions about this code. Plus stuff in the midterm. That's the final exam. I mean, yeah.
How many questions are we going to have? I know we had 16 on the midterm, but on the exam, is it going to be double that amount or something like that?
It's not going to be double. But I mean, it's good. I mean, I'm expect to take it. Take a, most of you took most of the 80 minutes.
Our exam
for,
is 3 hours, right?
No, most of the, so, well, I think it's 2.5. Okay. I think 2.5. But I'm basically going to shoot for like 2 hours or so. But I'm not going to try to make it much longer than the midterm. I don't like making it long for the sake of being long, but I have to add questions to ask you about, well, the flow of control is going to take you long, you know, may take you a little while. And you're going to have to ask, you know, answer things about, you know, what's that Ajax-y thing? You know, there's a lot of lines in particular I want to ask about. So I'm going to ask about some specific lines or some specific things, just like I did. Which lines do you think are interesting?
I don't like the exits line.
You know, like one thing to ask is like, what's this whole replace with? And this remove stuff, what's that remove doing? You know, so what is that line 7 doing?
Eight.
No, it's like this. So line 8, sorry, line 8.
What is line 8 doing? It's deleting the old exits. I specified a class for all the exits. Notice we specify button vault exit, so every exit button is going to have the exits class to it. And so by having this delete, that means I blow away all the exits. Because before I put in new exits, I should get rid of the old exits. That's all it does. See, I replace the title, I replace the description, I get rid of all the exits, and I create new exit buttons. Because I might have had 3 exit buttons, and I might now have 1. 1 to 5. You know, we don't know how many, so you delete the old ones and put in new ones. By the way, I stop at 2. By the way, just so you know. Okay, so wait, false. You even. Yeah.
For the midterm, you specify chapters of the textbooks that we can read. Are there any additional ones that we need to read for this? The same theory.
Yeah, same theory. You can read more. I mean, there's other stuff if you keep reading the node book. There's like, you know, kind of more advanced stuff, and it's good. You should understand most of the JavaScript, you know, the good parts book and things. But I've tried to be much more focused on code rather than the textbook, and I think you should read the textbook so you could approach. The flow of control, I'm thinking, for your learning is that you came to lecture or listened to the audio and looked at books and used that background to try to code your assignments and search the web, and then, you know, the end result is you actually, you know, participate in the tutorials and you did the assignments. Participating in the tutorials and doing the assignments should get you the background needed, if you understood what you did there, to do well on the final. I'm not trying to pull random. I mean, I really hate it. It was like, did you read this page of this book? Like, who cares? I mean, is it some little obscure kind of thing? It's like, no, you Google it. And that's why I'm giving you the code before the test. It's like, go learn the code. And this is code that you should know already, actually. So, know this code. Tell me how it works.
I think we would all know if
you know this. No. I mean, I certainly could give you code that would be difficult for you to understand. But if I gave you code like you saw other times, you should be able to answer that too. No, I didn't. Well, so the reason why, so my theory, and we'll see this, is that the midterm time, you all hadn't had as much experience with this stuff. and that now you've done more exercises, you've done two more assignments, and we've only added in a few more concepts. We've added in the database stuff, and we've added in the client-side JavaScript. And there is some complexity there, but it all should help. Actually, whatever you learn there should help you understand the stuff we covered before. So you only can tell yourself, you know, like looking back at the midterm, how hard does it look? I mean, does it, you know, from the perspective now, if you had to redo the midterm, does it look really hard? If it looks really hard now, you're in trouble. Is that?
I wanted to ask whether the assignment solutions are the start room or randomization.
It has a start room. Just like this code. Just like this code, what it does is it says start. No, the any room can be a start room is not a randomization call. It was the idea there was what if you wanted to specify an arbitrary room name and have that be set to be the room. I wasn't thinking of that as randomizing. It's kind of weird in an adventure game where you randomly get placed into some room. You can do it, but that was okay. Interpretations I would never consider. I'll say that. Okay? How about I end here, and I'm around for another couple of minutes before I head off, so if any of you want to come over and ask the question you didn't want to ask in front of everyone else. Otherwise, good luck.